Amen. We do want to say to all of our women of God, I'm going to tweak it this morning. We've been talking about discipleship and how you have a choice of being a convert. That's a believer. That gets you to heaven. But if you choose to be a discipler, that gets heaven to earth. And we believe that God wants us to release that because eternity is forever. Down here is temporal. I was honored to do my uncle's funeral this last week. One of my favorite uncles had graduated and went on to be with so many of my other loved ones there. And I was telling the congregation that, hey, time goes quick. How we got to the age we are, it was quick. But eternity is forever. Amen. The Bible says a day to us is like 1,000 years. So it's kind of like, or 1,000 years to us is like a day to the Lord. It's hard to equate, but praise God. I want to talk to you this morning in this empowering of discipleship along the lines of our mighty women of God. I believe that, yes, it includes motherhood, but it includes the influence that women of God have on society, church, family, and so forth. I did a little study, bear with me. I went through a few mighty women of God in the Bible. A little bit. Ruth, the Moabite, she overcame the past and was used mightily for God's purposes. Sarah, even though she laughed when she was told she'd have a child at 90, she laughed, but she stood in faith and the promise was fulfilled and she was a major encourager to her husband Abraham. Priscilla of the New Testament worked as an unbeatable team with her husband Aquila to not only mentor Apollos, but to mentor so many believers in the early church. It was powerfully used. The five daughters of Zelophehad stood fearless and firm, and they reformed culture of the day, and they spoke up and claimed possession of the land for God's kingdom. Mary Magdalene, delivered from demons, then she was the one God used to be the first one to announce the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Hannah, as a mighty prayer warrior, asked God if he would bless her with a son, that she would dedicate him unto the Lord for all the days of his life. And to this day, in the church, we dedicate our children unto the Lord, following the pattern of this mighty prayer warrior. As Hannah had Samuel, that made a difference in God's plan. The Samaritan woman became one of the first mass evangelists for Jesus Christ. Truthfully, she confronted her past and then was strategically used to minister and share with so many that were looking for the Savior. Mary of Bethany worshiped God, worshiped him, worshiped at the feet of Jesus, anointed him, listened and drew, and was powerfully used so much that the Bible records her as being this mighty woman of God. Esther is used in the Old Covenant to explain how her bravery and her courage, where she risked her life to go to the king. And back in that day, you didn't go to the king unless you were summoned. It could have cost her life, but she was able to be used to detect demonic force in Haman that was trying to eliminate the children of God and saved and preserved them. Deborah was known as a prophet and a prophetess and a judge to Israel. And she was known for her wisdom, courage, and compassion for justice. And so it was recorded in the Bible as a mighty woman of God. Miriam, Moses' sister, preserved and fought and stood up and for Moses. She had her shortcomings, but she helped preserve the mission of God. Then there's the daughters of Philip out of the New Testament. Philip the evangelist was sharing the good news after Christ had risen, and these daughters were going and prophesying in the lives of so many that encouraged the body of Christ. And then how could we forget Mary, the mother of Jesus? That at a very young age, heard from the angel, received her destiny, which would have been a stretch back then without a husband, and birthed the Savior, Jesus the Christ, and goes down in the scriptures as being blessed above all. What a pattern to follow. All of these we considered as mighty women of God. Now we have some scripture that I'd like you, if you do have your Bibles, you can turn to this morning out of Proverbs chapter 31. I want to set the stage because I want to talk about our mighty women of God, as we heard about the Bible mighty women of God. But in Proverbs 31, I'm going to pick up at around verse 10. I'll pick and choose through 31. It's a good study. Mine says the virtuous woman. Yours may say the virtuous wife. They're one in the same. In Jesus' name. Who can find one? For their value is more precious than rubies, which was the money system back then. The heart of the virtuous woman's husband safely trusts her. And so there's no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks out willingly to work with her hands. She considers a field. She's an investor and she buys them. She extends her hands and she helps the poor. She reaches out to those in need. Verse 23 says her husband is known in the gates because of her. Strength and honor are her clothing, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not sit around lazy. Her children rise up, and they call her blessed. Her husband also praises her regularly. Many daughters have done well, but she excels them all. She has the fear of the Lord that she conveys to her house. And verse 31 says, and let her own works praise her in the gates. As we've come this day and as we're celebrating the life of mothers, we need to celebrate the life of mighty women of God, mighty disciples of God. And we sit in the midst of having some pretty great ones that God has used powerfully that sit among us. And just tolerate us, I bring some to the forefront. Ruthie's not here this morning, and when she's not, she's fighting the good fight of faith for health, reaching into her 80s. But Ruthie did not have an easy life. She is raised in a strict Catholic household, but she did not have a personal walk with the Lord. She entered into a relationship with a gentleman that she got married to and had kids with that beat her and others terribly. This is not hidden. This is her testimony, and hopefully she'll hear it. They divorced, but the mighty woman of God did not forsake. When the husband says, you'll not go to church, she says, I love you, honey, but I'm going. And she continuously sought God, prayed for her children, all three daughters. She raised them by herself, never stopping to pray to believe that her ex would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And lo and behold, in his latter years, he gave his heart to the Lord. And so there was a celebration, even though she did not have that like many of us do. Then we have Lynn Ahrens, also in her 80s, loves God, was used Keeley to draw her husband John, wanting more. And together, they came to a place to serve the Lord. And when John passed, Lynn knows what the scripture says for all our ladies that are widows, that Jesus out of Isaiah becomes your husband. So you too are a virtuous woman of God. And that's why throughout the scripture it tells those that are older, ladies, to continuously train up the young ladies for sure. Teach them how to love their husbands. Teach them how to believe for them. Because in this day in society, it's very difficult to make it, let alone if you don't have a godly spouse. So stood in the gap. Joy Underwood, who's right now
home resting with her husband who broke his hips. For many years, she continuously served God when David, although he was raised in the church, had no walk with the Lord, as he shared in our men's group. But because of Joe's fervor in prayer and believing God, there came a time, and now we all love David, who's given his heart to the Lord. And as he comes to men's group, he says, "My gosh, I was nervous to come because I don't know anything, but I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm so excited and so blessed." Again, thank God for the mighty women of God that did not falter as they continuously believed God. Glenda Johnson, who sits in our midst that we've been blessed with, she served God, got her kids into a church setting, even when her husband did not serve the Lord. And it was brutal for many, many years, and Glenda never stopped praying and believing God. And that day came later on when she recalls he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ just before he went home to be then with the Lord. And then she continued to pray and believe God for David, who was incarcerated, which is no secret. And she believed him to be encouraged and to get a breakthrough. And for her prayers and that, they ended up marrying, and now we're blessed with David and Glenda. Thank God for the mighty woman of God, Glenda, standing in the gap, even in the midst of the storms that can come our way. I share those examples because we think when you're a Christian, it's just all a piece of cake. But these are mighty women of God that believed God in the midst of when it didn't look good. They stood in the gap for their husbands. My wife many times says if men would only realize the power that comes from our women, because there is a strength that they emit, there's a sensitivity that they have, that if I was to ask many of us men of God who was the one that had the first passion to go after God, most of the time, not all the times, it's the woman. Thank God for the women of God that had the passion to go after. Now bear with me as I honor a few more of our mighty women of God in our congregation that believed for their husbands. Take Stephanie, our associate's wife. Believe God, her children came when Kayla and Alexis were small and came and checked us out and loved what was going on, enticing Pastor Mike, who was just somebody coming to check us out. And it was cute. I remember where he stood as I talked to him a little bit. But the key is, when he sold out to the Lord, he couldn't get enough. Thank God for the mighty woman of God in Stephanie that was praying and believing God. How about our Kathy Bretternitz? Where's I saw Kathy? For years, Kathy and the little kids were coming to church believing for Tim. Hi, Tim. Good morning. With Tim's mom, who I know quite well, praying for him also to come to that place, to come as a family. And Kathy taught her kids to be in church Sunday in, Sunday on. She taught her kids to tithe. They were putting in their dimes or their 15 cents. And she was faithful year in and year out. And what an excitement when Tim came and gave his heart to the Lord. Men's Encounter and the faithfulness. They drive every week from Midland. God bless. But thank God for the mighty woman of God. Now, Tim and Kathy are raising up grandkids and bringing them when they can to church. What a blessing. Again, our mighty women of God. Then there's Rachel Wolfenstein. For so long, she was coming by herself. She's gone through a horrendous divorce. She was encouraged to get in a church and grow in God, and she stayed quiet. We didn't even know that she hardly was here, except we'd see her. And then, of course, Joe began to come into her life, and Joe says, "Let me go to that church. Let me just show you all the things it's probably doing wrong." So he had his list, as he conveys. Lo and behold, when he came, he didn't find anything we're doing wrong. And he slipped right in, and now to see Rachel and Joe as a mighty couple for God, even taking upon themselves one precious Megan, was Megan Smith before Megan Morgan. I remember when Megan first came as we were bussing in youth. Dion's one of our youth that came through, gave his heart to the Lord. Now he's graduated from college and starting his new career. I'm still going to mention you, Dion, so... Megan was one. I remember she came to the altar, and she's looking at me like, "I don't know why I'm up here, and I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to watch you." And she gave her heart to the Lord, and she began to excel in the things of God. And she wasn't raised in a home that did not have a father. She had a loving mom, but a mom that didn't know how to give her a lot of things. She passes early, and what happens? Joe and Rachel take Megan under their wing and begin to teach her how to be a mighty woman of God, taught her how to discipline your life, how to get things out of your life that's destructive, how to be a tither. And she began to excel, and we begin to see her just be a mighty blessing here. Which leads me up to her husband. Worked for Josh many times trying to get him to church. Sandy, a praying mama, praying for her kids. And yet he refused to come, didn't want nothing to do with it. I tried to entice him by giving him things out of our youth thing, and he always wondered, what's this guy want? Lo and behold, we're at a function, and we're seeing Megan worship God. And I remember Josh standing and says, wow, I want what she's got. What do you see? Someone that loved God, somebody that worshiped God, somebody that was sold out to God. And sure enough, he slips right into the camp and becomes a mighty, unbeatable team. And we've been honored to dedicate both their children to the Lord because of a praying Megan and a praying Rachel and those that have stood in the gap for their loved ones. And I thank God for PK's mother and my mother. And I was down doing this funeral, and they were recalling of six kids. I was the renegade. And that got brought up, says, you were really a terrible person. And I know. I got kicked out of most everything. Thank God for a mother, though, through all of that, continuously taught me how to be a gentleman, made me open her car doors, made me walk on the outside of the curb. And I used to say, oh, I'm not. This is how you're going to treat your future wife. And, of course, I say, no way, I'm not going to be married. I'm going to be a bachelor. Lo and behold, during that same time, PK's mom is training her up to be a woman of God, to be somebody that loves God, somebody that would discipline themselves and save themselves, thank God, for that mighty man of God that would eventually be her husband. And I remember how, going to be a bachelor, I came to school. I'm a senior. PK's a junior. And I fell in love with her. And I thought, this is really weird. 17 years old, and she's 16, and I'm praying up in my bedroom, God, give her to me as my wife. It took many years before I'd confess that. But I thank God for this mighty woman of God that had a hunger and was after God. She didn't understand. She was raised in a certain denomination. She learned all the jumping through the hoops things, but she didn't have that personal thing. But she always was hungry for it. When we were going to school at Central, we'd always go to church because we were both taught to go to church. Anytime there'd be an altar call, she's bringing me right to the altar. We must have given our heart to the Lord 100 times. Anytime there, but thank God for the passion. And I remember in our early marriage when she said, hey, if we're going to make it, then we've got to find a deeper walk with the Lord. And it was her that encouraged me to find a spiritual church. And we went to that church. You've heard me tell a testimony of it. 600 people worshiping God, raising their hands. Me leaning over to her and saying, honey, we're the only two normal people in here. It wasn't long on our way home. We lived in Hemlock at the time. I said, if what they got is real, that's how I want to worship my God. And I thought, thank God. We got hit. We got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Our lives have never been the same, 24 and 25. We get high, but we get high on Jesus. And we stay high, and we stay high on Jesus. And I say it like this. I thank God for her mother. Because if it wasn't for her mother, there would not be a PK. Thank God for my mom that endured all kinds of things. And I know in heaven this day, she's probably marveling that I would be pastoring. But she prayed many nights, and my dad prayed that I would stay. And it was only the miracles of God. When I go into prison and minister, I say, well, you all here because you got caught. There's others of us that aren't in here because we didn't get caught. But the issue is God catches us if we allow him to, and he can change our life. And I thank God for that catching mechanism. I thank God for the women that drew us men to this hunger. I think of Sandy Morgan, and I can share this because of so many times her husband that's in heaven too, Lee, would tell him, I don't know how that woman stayed with me, man. He shared all the hell he took her through. But she stood believing God, and Lee gave his heart to the Lord. And I remember when Sandy asked me for counsel. Lee's serving the Lord, Sandy's serving the Lord. And Sandy says, I got a brother. He likes to smoke dope, and he likes to do this. Should I bring him into my home? And I remember my wise counsel. No. Thank God she didn't listen to it. She brought Tom into her home. Tom began to come to church, gave his heart to the Lord, and Pastor Mike will also assert he was our biggest encourager. I mean, he came to cell group immediately. He couldn't believe it. And he always came in, well, I'm going to keep doing this and this. We said, Tom, you can do everything you want. Just keep growing in God. And as he grew in God and got excited, God, he started not needing certain things any longer in his life. To such a point that when his son was dying because the liver was burning out because of the alcohol, he says, I want to go lay hands on him. So a whole team from this church go down to Tom, who gave his heart to the Lord, and a few others, Sandy and Lee, went and prayed for Tommy, and he gets healed and lives for numerous years, but gives his heart to the Lord. Wow, thank God for our mighty women of God that continue to pray when it didn't look like it. Now, someone says, well, wasn't she disobedient not listening to you? You need to realize the Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. I'm one counsel, you're one counsel. That's why you bounce things off God-fearing men and women that will give you proper encouragement. Amen? So women, our women, mighty women of God, we thank Jesus for your passion and your heart. And I could go on and on and on how the very heartbeat of why we're here today is because there was a hunger for more of Jesus in our brides or in our women's lives. So I challenge, we pray protection on our children. We pray that there will be praying mamas like we had that will pray protection, that will pray for the innocence of our children. There's nothing more beautiful than to wait until you're married and then experience this relationship that the Lord gives you that's dynamite. But that's all of our responsibility, mighty women of God. That's why older ones are to help train up the younger ones, to show them it's worth waiting. It's worth saving yourself. God isn't going to love you any less if you didn't, but I'm going to tell you, God loves his best plan, and that's his word. Amen? So we're filled with mighty women of God that have changed communities because of their walk. Thank you, Jesus, for PK. Thank you for her standing in the gap. She initiated going to Bible school. I'm coaching. I'm very enjoying being a teacher. No, we need to go to Bible school. So we go to Bible school, and who ends up being the star pupil of this class? My wife. She got the honors. She was the student of the year and all that. I'm going through this, but little did I know, but God knew that there was coming a time when God would take the heartbeat that he's given us to release into others. And that's how he works. So these women and these young women that are sitting by you, it's not taking anything away from the guys, but I'm telling you, they are a major influence in our lives. I've told this many times. I did not marry my wife to be my cook. I did not marry my wife to do my laundry. I did not marry my wife so she could do and have a job and provide. I married her so she'd be the last precious life I'd go to sleep with, and I would wake up with her in the next morning, and it would be holy. That's beautiful. That's what the mighty women and men of God are being raised up. It is a future with hope and a future with destiny. Mamas, your time is not done. Train up those children. You have a responsibility to train those sons and to teach them how to be gentlemen, how to respect their elders, how to respect you. And my mom would always say this, how you treat me, you're going to treat your wife. And I would laugh about that, but it's exactly what I ended up doing. My wife sometimes, I said, honey, would you just by now get on the inside of the curb? Why do I always have to step? Don't you know that's my role? I have to do this. Sometimes I'm with other people and I'm going over to their car door and they're saying, no, you don't have to open my car door. It's okay, men, to be gentlemen. Amen? It's okay to treat our ladies as queens. And we're taught that by mighty women of God that show us how we need to behave. Look with me to Luke chapter 24. Notice how Jesus has died. He's resurrected. The tomb is empty. Verse 1 says, that first day of the week, it was very early in the morning. Certain other women came to the tomb bringing spices. They found the stone rolled away. Verse 3, then they went in and they did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened as they greatly were perplexed that, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid. They bowed their faces to the earth. And then the angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember what he said. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise again. And they then remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and told all those things to the 11 and to the rest. And then it strategically lists who these people are that got this word. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women with them. So all the men were in hiding, and here we have the mighty women of God out there getting the gist and taking it and sharing the good news. I'm telling you, there's a boldness and a strength in mighty women of God to put down and encourage families to do what's right. My mom would say, I know it's tough, and there's six kids, but she would make the point of getting us all ready, and I hate it. Any of you guys ever get the wet handkerchief in the ears? I'm telling you, if I didn't clean my ears good, I was getting that on the way to church, and I hated it. Nothing worse than a cold, wet spit that my mom would stick in my ears to clean my ears. I hated it. And I share this because when we get mothers that spend all this time to get their families together, you know, whether it's the Smith family that has a lot of children, I remember, or Jill that comes with them, yes, the kids may be rambunctious and so forth, but God bless the mothers that make it a responsibility to get their kids ready and get them to church. Wow, mighty women of God. Thank God for the Marianne's and the Jill's and the Lisa's that take that time to get all their kids suited up. I knew what it was like in my mom and made it a priority. Yes, we are almost always late. Yes, we had a certain row that they knew was the Townsend row. And then there was a row named the Gwilt row. They had a couple extra kids than we had. Then there was the Schurz that had a few more. And we all seemed to always be late. And people don't understand, but when you got a lot of kids, that's a lot of getting ready if you're going to make a point that your kids know that church is important and needs to be a part of your life. Thank God for the moms and the efforts that they do to make it a priority to make sure their children are in an excellent environment, healthy. Amen? Women bringing the message. Another translation in John says Mary Magdalene wouldn't even leave. She insisted, I'm not going till I see Jesus. And guess what? He manifests, and she actually gets to see Jesus himself. Thank God for the tenacity in our women. We're not just settling just to feel or read about it. I want an experience with the living God. And they press in, and they press in. If we men could just be a little more fervent with that. Wow. Would we ever make a difference in our society? Thank God for the mighty women of God. Catherine Coleman, some of you know this woman. She was Signs and Wonder Woman, but she was a divorced woman. How many know God uses imperfect people? That's all of us, but sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Catherine Coleman would not be received by certain denominations because she was a woman. And I remember hearing an account when she was in the midst of all these ministers. And they chewed her up one side and another. You shouldn't be ministering the word of God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong? And she listened. She listened. Then when they were done, she said, you done? She says, would you stand up? As they stood up, she went, and they all got slain in the spirit. Not undone. Doesn't have to prove anything. All I know is God uses mighty women of God. And churches are built on the power that comes through many mighty women of God. Joyce Myers, abused as a kid all through her life, and is powerfully now used to encourage people to do all they can for the Lord. You've heard me share the story. I think it's Smith Wigglesworth. I was hunting it up to get the specifics, but it might be Charles Finney. But how he did everything he can to oppose God. He was in his 40s. And his wife would continuously say, "Honey, I love you, but I'm going to church." And so he fought her and fought her. Now, you got to realize, for those that have read about Smith Wigglesworth, he's raised many accounts of dead people to life. He's jerked people out of caskets that came to life. Powerfully used by God. Study the history of him. 40-some years old, he's got a wife, and it's a cold night. And she says, "Honey, I'm going to church." He said, "No, you're not, because if you do, I'm going to lock the door." So as she slipped out of the door, he locked the door, and she went to the service at her church. She came back, and the door was locked, and she tried it a few times, knocked a couple times, made a place right at the step, covered her up with however she could stay warm, and she slept on the front porch. When her husband awakened, he realized, "That's right, I locked my wife out," went down. He opens the door, and it's recorded that she got up and says, "Honey, what do you want for breakfast?" It said he broke, fell to his knees, gave his heart to the Lord, and was used powerfully to change society and change a witness. Thank Jesus for women of God that set priorities in their household and will not allow the enemy to break up their families. Women of God, you are to be praised this day for making a priority. You're here, and you that are viewing on Facebook, there is no distance in the spirit realm. God bless you, mighty women of God. What's your role as we celebrate Mother's Day? Lead our men to Christ. Might be your husbands, might be your brothers. Teach our children to love God. Teach our boys how to treat ladies. Teach them, train them. In Proverbs it says, "Train up the children in the way they should go." The actual rendering of "train" is catechism, orally in excess. Over and over again, we got to hear. We know faith cometh by what? Hearing and hearing. So sometimes kids need to hear and to hear, to hear, to hear. And sometimes they got to hear again. But faith cometh by hearing. So train, teach. And let me tell you this, all you that think you've raised all your kids, as long as you're on earth, your job is not done. There's no word called retirement in the body of Christ. You may retire from your jobs, but you don't retire from being mighty women of God. You are exhorted to be an example to the next generation, to encourage them to be mighty men and women of God, and to impart into them, especially as you've grown since you gave your heart to the Lord. What an awesome responsibility that's on our mighty women of God. So to that congregation, I think our mighty women of God deserve a round of applause. If you're a woman that's 18 years or older, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, at the end of the service, we do have a flower for you, but this is more significant. Every one of you that are viewing Facebook, if you're an 18-year-old lady on up, stand to your feet right in your homes. Congregation, let's look around. These are our mighty women of God that made a point to be in church this morning. Sandra, another one, went through a major, terrible relationship with a husband and stayed faithful. And her kids were raised up serving God, and he came to know the Lord in his last years. Didn't see you, Sandra. God bless you. Wow. Now, as we look at these beautiful creations of God, if you were a husband, a son, a brother, would you just stand beside these women that are already standing? Men, I want you to look at these mighty women of God, whether they're your spouse or just a mighty woman of God. Travis, we'll allow you to come up here. We'll be protected. Holy Ghost will protect us. How about Jenny Roberts? How many years did she bring those two kids and train them up to be in church? And now we're so in love with Travis, but it took, 6 years before he graced the doors? Thank God that she did not grow weary. Thank God, Jenny, that you continue to believe God for this man. And look at the kids, how happy they are to have mom and dad together. Men of God, look at the woman that you're standing next to, whether it's just a spiritual woman or whether it's your husband, and say this after me. I ask your forgiveness for not being as strong a representation of the kingdom of heaven that I could be. And I say thank you for patterning your life that I might know what it's like to see a mighty woman of God. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for standing up for us. Because we are blessed men of God because of the gifts that God gave us. In Jesus' name. Now, mighty women of God, we prophesy to you this day that this year will be your most fruitful year, that God will excel and give you not only the desires of your heart, but will use you, each and every one of you, as he opens up the very anointed footsteps to travel, that he will take you to places to set free those that are held captive, to be used as mighty women of God to free the next generation, the mighty women in the making, the mighty sons in the making. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Ghost that's in them is not a baby Holy Ghost, but it's a mighty Holy Ghost filled with kingdom release. And we call you kingdom releasers on earth as it already is going in heaven. And we say thank you, mighty women of God. And we loose you to go make a difference in your home, in your community, in your church, in your state, in your cities, and in your nation, in the world, in Jesus' name. And all of us said, amen. Amen. Love on one another. Thank the women of God. God bless you. There's flowers that are coming for each and every one of you. If you need special prayer, the altars are open. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, if you do not have biological children, you got spiritual children. Amen.